Welcome back. We've had many discussions about discernment, but one of the key things of discernment in the discernment literature is the discernment of evil.
Okay, that seems
interesting. So there's something gritty about life. Gritty is means there's something like pretty practical, something that includes a lot of issues.
Right.
And let's talk about them. Okay. One is you and I are sinners.
Okay.
You and I are saved, but you and I are still tempted.
Right.
And we're involved in spiritual warfare. We know that from Ephesians chapter 6. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers. And we also see in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Or back to this one, yeah. Ephesians 6 verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It's as if, Steve, we talked about all of this discernment, moral discernment, relationship discernment, and yet there's still one more discernment. There's the earth we live in, then there's the discernment of how to live here. Then there's a spiritual, now world discernment that we must also deal with.
Right. And evil is like, we know what evil is if you just go back to Genesis, that it's subtle. I mean, if evil was just
obvious.
An obvious, like, here's a cliff, and if you step off from this cliff, you're going to fall a thousand feet to your death. And you can see it, it's obvious.
Right.
But evil, remember, the serpent comes to Eve and says, "Now, did God
really?"
It was very subtle, and the devil is the father of lies.
Right,
so it's not always that obvious, and that's why you have to is this holy? Is this evil, or is this something something I just want? Is this a good thing? Is this of the devil? Is this people will. I remember someone coming to me after 5 years of marriage, and they want a divorce. And I'm talking to them, "What about your vows and all of that?" And finally, "What about God? You promised some things in front of God." And they looked at me and said, "Well, would God want me to be unhappy?"
Unhappy, yeah.
So in other words, now that's a subtle evil thought, right?
Right.
I mean, the devil is like, God wouldn't want you to be
unhappy.
I mean, God is about love, and God is about. You know, there's verses on, you know, things exist for your goodness and your pleasure and your benefit, and this is hurting you, so God wouldn't want you to be hurt.
No.
Right, so it's very subtle. So that's why we need a little discernment on, well, what is evil? When is the devil speaking?
You know, and reflecting on pastors and ministers and, you know, in our various trips throughout the world and visiting people and whatnot, we've often had a lot of downtime. So we'll talk, you know, and just share some of our notes about some counseling or some stories. And it's always interesting to hear some of the stories as experienced pastors can tell them, where somebody will come to you and their marriage is going pretty well, and pastor, one day I went to work and she just bent forward and my eyes caught her cleavage. Now, you know, so you're hearing this, you know, they're bringing your story, and I just had to have her. I fell in love right there.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
and isn't God a God of love?
Right.
You know.
Right. I know. It's like, boom, shoot in your foot, marriage, children, all of that, or that boat, or even like leaders, Christian leaders, who shot themselves in the foot over. They're doing well in every area, but this one area, then the devil said, "Why can't you have that?
Yeah, what you deserve."
Right.
I mean, people don't understand what you've been through, the sacrifices you've made. Don't you deserve this?
Well, and I even know, by talking about it, we'll probably get attacked by something.
We shouldn't be arrogant about it.
No, and I mean, we laugh about it,
we smile about it,
because it almost is like, really? It's almost fascinating that it happens.
Well, that's what happened to Moses. Remember Moses took a wife, and then brother and sister were unhappy with him because he took that little perk.
Right.
And, you know, and they thought he didn't deserve that.
Yeah.
But Moses is, you know, I've been through a lot.
Yeah.
You know, And so,
in Paul, you know, it's like he says, the Holy Ministry, I have a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan that torments me.
Right.
But then he comments, but when I am weak, then I am strong. So this whole discernment of evil and is probably very important to do.
So I identify demonic influence in ideas, people, and organizations. You're contending with demonic forces. That, I mean, evil is not just some rules that are being broken. There's entities behind it.
Yes. Just like there are ministering angels, there are also, God allows the demons to still be in this world.
And
we're victorious over them.
And so it's personal.
Yes.
Evil is personal. It's just not just evil out there. It's personal. And that, I love the story of the demons going into the pigs.
Right.
That story. Jesus comes to an area and then the demons cry out, don't hurt us.
Right.
And then Jesus sends the demons into these pigs and 7,000 pigs run off and drown themselves in the river.
Right.
And what that story illustrates is the intent of evil.
Right.
The intent of evil is to destroy.
Right.
Destroy you. No matter the smallest little lie or whatever it might be, the goal of evil is to destroy you. So knowing that it's personal, the devil and all his
demons,
their goal is to hurt you, to hurt your marriage, hurt your family. And so to discern, his movements, it's like counterintelligence. We need to be savvy about what's going on so that we can, fight against.
I even find that this is interesting in Mark, where Peter, close to Jesus, when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, "Get behind me, Satan," he said, "you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man." So when I first read that years and years ago in the first minister, I thought, like, this doesn't seem right.
No, because Peter is the pillar of the church.
Does that seem right? I mean, but it helps us realize it is personal. And I mean, even Satan tempted Jesus.
Right, right.
And he used all of these, like, alluring propositions, like, "I will give you world."
Yeah, he'll poke you at your weakest. Whatever your Achilles heel might be, because Jesus was hungry, right? He had been in the desert 40 days, 40 nights, and now, okay, so here's the weakness.
Yes.
I'm going to exploit. So imagine what the devil is doing in your life. Where's your weaknesses,
right,
and where's he going to poke?
Right.
So that's part of the discerning process, is where are my weaknesses? Where is the wall low in my fortress where I might expect? So if your marriage is not good, guess what the devil's going to do?
Go after your marriage.
Go after your marriage. Or the relationship with your children. Or let's say right now you're having a problem with church and you're not really going to church anymore because the last thing was a bad experience. Guess what? The devil's going to keep you from church.
And that your problems at home will come on Sunday morning.
Right. Yeah, to keep you from going. And the first church you try out, it's going to have something that pushes your buttons, and then you're going to go, "Maybe I don't need church." You can count on the devil poking you where you're vulnerable.
It's interesting, C.S. Lewis, just recently my wife and I watched like two documentaries about C.S. Lewis and how he was caught up in Norse myths and well-read on all, wrote books about medieval, all of this philosophy and whatnot, literature. And Tolkien was constantly ministering to him. And
who wrote The Lord of the Rings?
Wrote The Lord of the Rings, because Tolkien was a believer. And then Tolkien said, C.S. or Clive, or I think he called him Jack, every myth finds its truth in Jesus Christ. Okay, so that came like 2 in the morning on one of their long discussions. And it's through that one sentence, really, that C.S. Lewis, every myth, and this is what Tolkien said, he said, there's a lot of myths written and a lot of, religious backgrounds, but there's always a desire for God. There's the desire for redemption. There's a desire for resurrection. But he said, the Jesus Christ story is the true story. It's where Satan was actually right. defeated evil. Every myth has evil in it and right, stuff right, like right. that. But Jesus defeated the devil.
Right.
And Tolkien kept talking, and at some point, C.S. Lewis, the Holy Spirit put it in his heart, that's true. Mm-hmm. Now, it's interesting. What was the first book he wrote? Was Screwtape Letters.
Right.
And I've often said that to new believers. I said, get ready, or even people who start Christian Leaders Institute, get ready if you dare to do something for God or build.
Right.
But this is what I say. I don't say don't get ready, but if you want evidence that there is a God, wait till you get attacked next.
Yeah, right.
And that's what happened to C.S. Lewis.
Right. All right. So how do you actually discern evil?
Okay.
Well, there's some ways to discern evil.
Like negative consequences?
Yeah, you do the wrong thing and you get hurt.
Okay.
That's the simplest. Okay. And that remember we talked about common sense.
Yes. Yeah. So in other words, chaos is sort of the work of the fall,
right.
evil.
Yeah,
even
that evidence that maybe you're going down the wrong trail.
Right. So that's it. It's simple. There may not be demonic forces there, but negative consequences tell you you're going down the wrong trail.
Yeah. You employ sarcasm in your relationship with your wife and see what happens.
Yeah. Right. The things of God grow dim. Isn't that the truth?
Okay. Right. So the more you go down the evil trail, the less God is real, the less God you can see God in your life, the less you even care about
right,
God.
Right, right, right. Right. When God is close and you morally fail or you sin, you feel bad.
Right.
When God is not close and you morally fail,
right.
you don't even think about it.
Right. Right. So in other words, if you're feeling bad,
right.
That's kind of a good sign.
Yeah, it means right. that you're alive. They would say like feelings, if you feel
yeah,
pain,
yeah.
means that that's helping.
But it means that God is important to you. Otherwise, yeah. you wouldn't feel bad.
Right, that's right. Unbalanced desires. What's that?
Yeah. So, yeah, I suppose it means all the like, you know, food, let's say. I'm eating
right.
too much food.
Or, right. Like the senses go out of control against the way God designed it to be.
In some ways, we've been designed for moderation.
You know, that's
but,
a really good point.
But, you know, I have a bowl of ice cream. When I'm done with that bowl of ice cream, I want one more. You know, I want more.
Right.
Okay. But when I take more, it's not as satisfying.
Right.
It doesn't really give me more. And so, and that's what unbalanced desire is. You want more than which is actually beneficial for you, and then you have no self-control, and then it goes awry. So if you're always getting sick, that means maybe your desires are out of whack. And the devil does that. He builds on it. You know, you have something good, why not more?
Right. You know, one thing we appreciated about our religious our Christian background was moderation.
Yeah.
And it really kept us out of trouble in many ways. I remember there's an Ecclesiastes passage, I think it's in chapter 7, about, you know, don't be over holy or over wicked. The one who fears God avoids extremes. Now, if that was not how I was raised, and my dad used to say about moderation that it's a safe place to be. So, so let's say in drinking. So I saw my dad have one beer at night.
Right.
And we lived near Wisconsin, near Milwaukee.
Right.
But all my friends' family, they drank a lot of beer.
Right.
Now, it's interesting. Now, again, you may choose never to drink any alcohol. You may be an alcoholic, so I don't want to get. But I noticed that, you know, never drive. Never, you know, there is like all these rules in place for like one beer.
Right, right.
So moderation.
Yeah.
And unbalance is to blow that moderation off
and
just say, oh, whatever.
Right. And today we live in a day of excess and availability. It used to be fruits were available in their season.
Right.
But now, with the whole world economy, the fruits come from everywhere and anywhere. And so everything is available any time. But do people enjoy it as much? I mean, I remember when it was strawberry season, it was only like a few weeks. And that was the greatest 2 weeks of your life.
Right.
And then they were gone.
Right.
And then the next year they came back again, or peach season, or apple season, or whatever it might be.
Right.
The celebration of Christmas, once a year, we bring out those old carols. And why don't we get sick of them?
Right.
It's because we only use them at that one time of the year. And so this idea of moderation, sometimes more is less.
Right.
Is, you know,
and
really.
The devil likes to go after excess.
Yeah. So now,
you deserve more.
He's going to spoil it for you.
Right.
So, you know, now
Adam and Eve lived a pretty moderate life, but did God really say?
Yeah. You have the whole world at your disposal, but you want more, don't you?
Yeah. Your spirit senses evil. Have you ever sensed evil?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, you know, I remember being in the Philippines and being in a certain situation where some witch doctor person or whatever,
and
you just walk in and you feel a darkness, a heaviness, a coldness even.
Right. I remember one time, it was early in ministry, and this guy named Boyd said, come pray with Greg because he's really messed up. And so I remember going to his apartment in Joliet, Illinois, and I felt the evil. And then he was extremely erratic and all these other things. So then he asked me to pray for him. And I actually didn't really want to. And in our seminary, they never talk about evil very much.
No,
they didn't. But I remember praying with my eyes open. Lord, Greg says that he needs to be removed of a demon. And I don't know if that's true. But if often he starts shaking. And I felt the evil. And I prayed. And afterwards, and he started to sweat. And afterwards, he said, wow. And he was set free that day. And then he became a chauffeur. And anytime I needed to go to the airport, he'd pick me up for free. You know, Dutch people like that for free thing. You know, and I always gave him something. But he never wanted anything because it was gratitude for being released.
Right.
And now, I've never been one to look for a demon under every rock. I've never been one who, like, plays.
Yeah,
looks for that.
Yeah, like the demon didn't allow me to have a parking space at the mall or something.
Right,
like blaming the demon for every little thing in your life.
But over years, I've seen cases where there is definitely deliverance, and I have prayed deliverance prayers. And in our officiant minister class, we talk about some of these things and the prayers and everything. Yeah. So there is your spirit can sense evil.
Yeah.
And some people do have a special gift on that, I believe.
Yeah.
But all of us must be aware of it.
Yeah. Prayer.
Matthew 6, verse 13, Jesus even puts this on our radar screen, the Lord's Prayer, and lead us not into temptation, which we talked about in this presentation, but deliver us from, notice, the evil one.
Right.
It's personal. It's personal.
Right. So discerning evil is not just evil, but discerning that there's an evil one.
Right.
That it's that someone wants your downfall.
Right.
Someone wants your marriage to fall apart. Someone wants your kids to rebel against you.
Right.
Someone wants you to gossip about somebody at work. Somebody wants you to talk negatively about your pastor or the ministry that's going on in your church.
Right.
And so resisting evil is, why do I want to go along with the one who wants all this destruction?
Right. Right. Well, very good topic. May God bless you.
Yes.
As you discern evil, and discern in such a way as to bring blessing to yourself, glory to God, and love to your neighbor.
Yes.